The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Every day of this year, when you see 5780, rejoice. Some people see 1759 and they are clearing road for chair, if you know what I mean. Papa, 1759 are the number of Guinness or Deku. Yes. So in some circles, that brings a lot of joy. And I always tell people that if you're part of a wonderful family like FEM Foundation, one of the things you get is bragging rights. Isn't this beautiful? Every day, it's we're an amazing people. Everybody looks awesome. Eagle Heights, you are fantastic. I want to put your hands together for yourself. Praise God. So media, we're going to do this together quickly, please. Joshua 1:8. This morning we started examining hope, how the word of God and the spirit of God within you gives you a hope that the world cannot understand. And we're going to examine further God's hope within the context of God's goodness this evening. And the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Psalm 1:1-3. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And so the Bible says, there's a connection between your outcome and how you deal with the word of God. So there's a connection between the words you're going to hear at this conference and the words you're going to hear every other day of this year and how you're going to turn out eventually. So the question to you is, how are you going to handle God's word? Much later, we're going to be looking at some persons who took God's word for what it is and some other person who chose to relate in another way. But essentially, we must never forget that whatever you see in the course of the year, God is a good father. There is nothing that happens that God has not made a provision for you for. And when God started showing me this, he said, just look at this nation Israel that I call my people. They had come out of the land of Egypt, and they were on their way to where God told them he was going to give to their ancestors. But on the way, they became hungry. And God says, I'm going to give you manna. This manna will drop every day. It will not fail. Every day, gather as much as you need. Don't remain. Just trust me that if you gather today, tomorrow it will drop again and you will gather. But you know, he also told them that the seventh day is a day of rest. You don't do anything. So some persons tried to gather initially to keep overnight because they were slaves. They're not sons. And the Bible says it went bad and the camp stank. And God was angry. But when he says, don't gather every other day, he says, on the sixth day, because there's no work tomorrow, by my own command, you're not supposed to work. So on that sixth day, gather twice as much. And the interesting thing is, now that they gather twice as much, at his word, it did not go bad. So there's something that God put in that manner, that it is only on the sixth day it doesn't go bad. And then fast forward, they are going, even before they left, let's rewind a little. And he says, this night, because this guy is joking with my first son Israel, I'm going to slay all the firstborn son in Israel, in Egypt rather. And the Bible says there was no house where somebody had not died. Even animals, their firstborn, he slew all of them. But he told them, do something before I do this, to prepare yourself and to exempt you. That's what a good father does. He said, when you take the lamb, spotless, slaughter it, eat unleavened bread, with your sandals on your feet, get ready to go in a hurry. But that blood, you put it on your lintel where every Israelite lives. And when I see that blood, I will pass over you. That's what a good father does. So in the year of Thrive, he has given us words, and then he has told us how we're going to handle this word. Give me Ezekiel 41, how you're going to handle this word so that your end result will be thrive. We are thriving already, yes, I know, but words are going to keep coming. How are you going to handle God's word? God's word is not, it's not a mistake. It's calculated. There are some things some men of God would have said here that did not resonate with you. But for somebody else, he has been waiting for that thing like all his or her life. Praise God. So this prophet Ezekiel started describing a river. So this prophet got a vision of a river. And he says, afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house. Now this house was the temple. And behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastwards, for the forefront of the house, the southeast, on and on and on and on. Let's go to the next verse. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, unto the outer gate by the way that looks eastward. And behold, there also ran water on that right side. And when the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knee. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, and a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brinks of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the waters shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because this water shall come hither, for they shall be healed. And everything that live wither, the river cometh. Now, this is a very difficult translation. But the long and short is, this guy had a vision that water was issuing out of the sanctuary. But the part that God wants you to understand is, nothing was happening significantly inside the sanctuary where the water was issuing from. The water only became effective when it started to flow and then flow into the Dead Sea. Now, this thing is called Dead Sea because it does not flow. It's a stagnant water, and everything that enters it dies. But it says, as that water began to issue out of the sanctuary, wherever that water flows, life comes there. And he says, I saw all swarms of fish, I saw trees on either side of the water, because that water issued out of the sanctuary. And I read to us John 7:38-39 this morning, where Jesus Christ started saying, if anyone at all believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters. And that water will burst forth into eternal life. So that life-giving water that the prophet Ezekiel had seen in the Old Testament is the same water that the Holy Spirit is cooking up, turning up, welling up inside you. But you say this is a temple. So what is it? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that, don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit of God lives within you? So when we sit here in church, there's water issuing out from everywhere. I don't mean water literally. I'll tell you about water much later. Nothing happens here. The only place we'll begin to thrive is the moment you begin to flow out. And you're not flowing out to where everything looks good. You're flowing out to the Dead Sea. Do you know what Dead Sea means in Nigeria? Boko Haram, corruption, poor governance, child trafficking, prostitution, illegal migration. I could go on and on and on all evening. That's what Dead Sea means in Nigeria. So for you to thrive, for us to know that you are thriving, the result of what thrive means is that you become effective in those places, bringing the life that you carry. Like I said, inside the temple, nothing was going on. Water was just doing, yes, regular water. So we can all be here and shining our lights. We'll just be blinding each other. Because you shine, I shine, you shine, they shine, they shine. In fact, there's a song in Benin, we are the salt of the earth. Not the salt of the church, like Reverend will always tell us. And Fabomo did a song and said that when there's too much salt in your food, You can't eat it. That's the truth. So the thing we are doing here, like we were taught in Fem Foundation, is to come for empowerment. And the moment you are empowered, you are dispersed like seed, just thrown. And you're supposed to grow and germinate, bear fruit, and bring life to wherever you go. Praise God. I'd like us to go to Matthew 13. Parable of the sower. Now, seeds are being sowed in our hearts. Hope you know that every word that comes is a seed, and your heart is a field. Matthew 13. Okay. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, in Sunday school, and I'm sure that's what they taught many of us here, my Sunday school teachers taught me that this sower carried seed from his house. And he started going to the farm. As he was going along the road, he passed a bush path. Some seed fell from his pocket. And then he went again. He got to a rocky place. Some seed fell from his pocket. And then he got to a place where there were thorns. Some seed fell. Until he eventually got to the good ground and some seed fell. It's not true. I've read my Bible, and my Bible tells me that the thorny path, the rocky place, the shallow ground, the good ground were all inside his land. So he came and he takes his seed and he scattered it over his farm. And some seeds chose to fall along the path in the farm. Some fell on rocky ground. Some fell on good soil. Some fell among thorns. And I started asking God, so what are you trying to explain? And it took me back many years ago, when I used to go to the farm with my parents. My parents are fantastic farmers. And I noticed them, of course, no one consigned me. Our own was to eat roasted corn and hide in a hogbo, eat roasted yam in the afternoon with palm oil, finish. But there's something my mother used to do that God reminded me of. When she wanted to plant pepper and tomatoes, because they are delicate crops, she would always, because she would dig the hole and we would put the seed. I noticed that when it was time to plant pepper and tomato, she would put it by tree stump, or she would put it by a rock, she would put it by an obstacle. I didn't know why. Then when they germinate and they start springing and they're very young, she will now take them and put them in the proper place where it's supposed to be. She used to do that so that we running about with no understanding of what is going on here, that this is us trying to make a living, will not trample on them and kill them before they germinate. You don't do that to yam. You don't do that to gari, because the ridges are high, so nobody is going to step on it. And that's the same way God is saying our hearts are. There are parts in your heart that are good soil. There are parts in your heart that are along the path. People come and they pick this. Now, I was listening to a man of God some time ago. He said, mighty great man of God now. He said before he had his encounter and he dug deep into God's word. Papa, he was a skeptic. When pastor preached finish, he would now go with his friend to the house. And they will begin to dissect the message. Not to check it like Berean Christians, to see where mistake they, so that they will tell themselves, we not talk and we not quote and well. That he noticed that every time he did this, he wasn't growing. He didn't have money. His life was just getting worse. He was degenerating. Then one day he told himself that this nonsense had to stop. One Sunday after church, he said his friend came to his house and knocked on the door. He went to his door, opened and saw that his friend, and he told him, today, I'm not at home. And that was his beginning of his transformation. This is a... So there are people you need to tell by yourself in this year of Thrive. I'm not at home, in case you don't know. That thing we used to do, you go and continue it by yourself. But the beautiful thing is that in the economics of the Bible, one-fold means 100%. You can go and check it. I don't have time to do that this night. One-fold means 100%. And he says the seed, let's go back to the scripture. The seeds that fell on good soil, they produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So if somebody is going to quickly do the maths for us, 30-fold is how much? No. That's 3,000% of what was sown on good ground. And then 60 is what? 6,000%. And then 100 is 10,000%. But what exactly is good soil? If you go further down, the Bible says that the good soil are those who receive the word and they understand it. And this morning we're examining Ephesians 1:17 to 19. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you have hope. So parable of the sower is God telling us that we're supposed to, we have your potential, your lowest potential is 3,000% of whatever you are right now. That's your lowest potential if you have understanding that gives you hope. You can move on, you can step up your understanding and get to 6,000%. You can be everything God ever imagined and make it to 10,000%. So what is it you have now? Just multiply it by 10,000. That's what God sees when he looks at you. How much of it are you willing, ready to lay hold of in this year of thrive? That's what God sees. 10,000. And I started saying, okay, so let me just look at things going on around me. And what is going to happen when these things are times 10,000? You know, like FBC, if all you put together and all the people we can reach on our platform is whatever figure it is now, if you multiply it by 10,000, how much more do you think that is going to be? And God told me specifically, say, look at Upper Sakmomba, look at Siluko. And he says, these are the type of places that Nathaniel said, oh, Nazareth, can any good thing come out of this place? But if you have understanding and you decide to say the people in our family houses in this location times 10,000, and you know the beautiful thing? You plant every year. So 10,000 is your yearly capacity for growth, for impact, for increase, for whatever it is you're looking for. And I looked at this country, Nigeria, Papa. There's something they use in economics, even though it's faulty. I won't go into the dynamics of whether GDP is the best way you measure growth in a country. But let's assume it is what we have to use. When we record 1.9% growth, we'll be jumping in Abuja. And we are doing very well. This economy is drying. 1.9%, minus it from 10,000%. That's what we're doing to ourselves. And you know the cause, all of us. Because if the people who sit in this room this evening will just raise their game and say, I must be 10,000 times better. My output must be 10,000 times better than what it is now. Edo State will not remain the same. It won't take 3 months. So that thing we're praying, that thing we're looking for, that thing we're longing for, that thing we're hoping for, it's in our hands. How much better can it get? So you see that when he says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, just imagine yourself times 10,000. I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about your output, your capacity as a human being, what you bring to the table times 10,000. That's what it means. So your understanding of God's word is what takes you to that level. So it's not just to hear it, write wisdom key. A man of God said to us once, when you have wisdom key, also have action key. So that the output will match itself together. Praise God. Let's go to the parable of the talents, Matthew 25. Let's just start at verse 14. My time is... Okay, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Now, I don't want to boss with this long scripture. I know we all know the story. This man is about to go on a journey. Now, Jesus was going to describe the kingdom of God. Then he calls one servant and gives him five talents. He called the second, gave him two. And then he called the third one, he gave him one. And then he went away. And then when he came back, he started asking for output. The guy who was given five made five more. Excellent. The guy who was given two made two more. Excellent. And I started asking God, this last one, what was wrong with him? They are all workers or slaves or whatever it is they are. They have the same master. He did not give you some and he did not give some. He gave to everybody. So what was wrong with this guy? And the Spirit of God told me he had no hope. No hope of his calling. Because some people will ask you that this is your Christian life. At the end of the day, what is the reward? We're talking to some young men this morning. He said, this thing will be hard. I say, yes. But that's the only way to get there. What was wrong with this guy? He just looked at the thing in his hand. He did not focus on what he has been given. He had no expectation. He had no trust. He had no hope. He had no idea of his master's goodness. When God gives you something to use, it's just being a good father. Because when you say, ask of me, when he says, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, it's responsibility. So when I give you one, you come back with one more. He said, take one city. You take two. And then the one that makes nothing, they even take his one, they give two. So is it possible that the thing you are praying for, they've given it to another person? Is it possible? So the ones who are thriving, who are getting God's word, understanding it, hope is released to them, and then they're thriving in what they're doing. This guy had no idea. His whole focus was on how you are a hard man, how you will reap where you have not sown. I am so afraid of you. And we saw this morning that where the Spirit of God is, there's no fear. Praise God. Let's go back to Matthew 25, 1. And then we also see the story of parable of the 10 virgins. Now, these people had waited for this man all their lives, all their lives. The Bible says they are virgin, not 10 prostitutes, not 5 prostitutes and 5 virgins. They were all virgins. And they say, we're waiting for the bridegroom to come, but we don't know the day or the time. And some had understanding and they had hope. So they got extra oil that in case he knock, we come. Today is the day. I've waited for this day all my life. And then some other ones did not take extra. Because, you know, go do African time. Now, he's the bridegroom. Even give or take, he will come early. And then this guy does not come on time. And now their lamps are going down. They have to run to get. But you know the end of the story. They are locked out of the banquet. Everything they hoped for all their lives. And then the bridegroom is so even harsh. He didn't say, sorry, do as long. He said, I don't know you. Is that bad? So the thing did not even start from the waiting when they were going to get oil. Their understanding should have started much, much earlier. Where you have that relationship with God that gives you a constant word on a daily basis so that your understanding is enlightened and then you can know the hope of your calling. Praise God. And then the Bible says in Psalms 119 verse 130 that the entrance of his word gives light and understanding. I want you to give me that scripture in the Message Bible. Psalm 119 verse 130. Like the way the Message Bible puts it. It says, break open your words. Let the light shine out. Let the ordinary people see the meaning. So maybe there are some things we've been saying from this altar that seems too heavy. Maybe there are some things we're saying about this country, about this nation, or what is going to happen, how it's going to be, that are too heavy. But the Bible says that once his word breaks open, light will shine out of it, and the ordinary people will see meaning. And it's that meaning that gives you hope. Praise God. But as I wrap it up, God showed me something this evening, and he said, I don't want you to just thrive in your spirit. Get it, be excited, and people will still be asking, you say you are thriving, you not get money. You say you are thriving, you dey sick. You say you are thriving, you know they finish for hospital. You say you are thriving, you are not employed, you don't have anything. And I say, okay, so how is that going to be? He said, this year, I want you to thrive in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Can three people quickly come here? Let me do this quick illustration and then I'm out. Three persons, anybody, one more person. I'm a feminist. Okay, madam, you are spirit. You are soul. And you are body. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And 27 says, so God created man after his own image and after his own likeness. So you are the spirit. God created you. We couldn't see you anywhere because you are just like God. We don't see God. Come to this side. Oga, you are body. We fast forward to Genesis 2. The Bible says, so God formed man. He didn't create, he didn't make. He formed man from the dust of the ground. Because God gave us dominion over the earth, Genesis 1:28. This is supposed to be our space. So he says, if you keep going like me, whose spirit is hovering, you won't be able to get things done here. So I'm going to form something that will connect this one with this space I've made. But you are sansan dust. When they say dust to dust, it's true. Because a human, average human body, when it decomposes, we have done it here before, it's one head pan. Head pan is about 60 naira. So that's what the body is what, is dust. And God looks at this dust in his hand. There's a song from Bethel, Jonathan and Melissa Helsa, that the breath you breathe into dust, I'm breathing it back to you. It's a song of deep worship. So you are not, this one is not alive. You are alive in Jesus' name. And then the Bible says, God breathed into this dust and it became a living soul. Not living human being, living soul. You are that soul. So you are saved. God knows you are in right standing with God. You are righteous. You are justified. But this man is going to the hospital. This man has no job. This man has, it's not you. This body has cancer. Body has fibroid. Body cannot bear children. Body has mental issues. You start working on this one. You seize the gates of your mind, your emotion, your understanding, your worldview, your perception. You are trying to become like this man. But this body is still going to hospital. He's still sick. Everything that can happen to body still happens to this body. In this year, God says he doesn't want that. And he told us in Romans 8:11 that if the same power that raised Jesus from dead, he lives in you, he will quicken this mortal body. This body will become like this one. You know how I know? He gave me some examples. Praise God. Let's go to Acts 5:15. Now, the Bible says that as Peter will pass, his shadow were healing people. That shadow is from where? It's not from you. It's this body, the dust. This shadow can now heal. But it's part of you. So you will leak into this man, you become equal. As you they walk, and when you say, I'm a spirit, that's what you mean, if you understand it. Praise God. In 2 Kings, they were going to bury a young man. 2 Kings 13. And they heard, oh, some attackers are coming. And the man's body fell into the grave of Elisha. That same power, bone, dry bone, dead bone, the man came to life. The aprons, the handkerchiefs of Apostle Paul, people will take it back to their sick. Now, I'm not endorsing you start to use some things to worship or not. But they were leaking so much power. They were thriving on all fronts. That they will take that thing back to the sick and they will recover. And it's your portion. He says, if that same power, what is that power? It's the Holy Spirit. It's not far-fetched. And it's living inside you. So you are God. You transform into this one. You transfuse into this one. So that when people pass in front of your house, they have no reason to be sick again. We say that there's a guest until we want to put fast front of your house, they collect people's destiny. They learned it from us. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. When you sit on a chair and you get up, anybody who sits on that chair has an encounter. When they say this is the file, this is the difficult problem, as you touch it, by just touching it, by just entering a person's office, the thing that this man carries that makes him exactly like God begins to walk through this one, because it is you that we see. Don't tell me you have something inside here. I want to see. I can't see it inside here. This one we don't see with the eyes. This one is just like God. But this one must also be developed so that it can act as a bridge, bring it from God and give to the one, because God looks at the heart. What does man look at? The appearance. God bless you. Thank you. So that's the level God wants you to operate at in the year of trial. And I'm serious. He wouldn't tell me if he did not mean it. That there is no area of your life that should be an exception. That 10,000 times capacity, that 10,000 times potential, you can bring it out on every area of your life. And then he took me lastly to the book of Revelation. Since I started understanding some things about God, I stopped being afraid of the book of Revelation. When they say apocalypse, you just say rapture, you think rapture, those days. You just see those, you know, the rumblings and everything, you get afraid that the world is coming to an end. And then you're confessing your sins like 25 times in one day. If you hear thunder, you confess your sin, because you don't know. You hear a strange sound, whether that's a rapture or I don't want to be left behind, you know. And God started showing me, says, let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, that river that is inside us, there's a prototype of that river in heaven. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me, the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Praise God. But how do we get ourselves to get this river to unlock, to get this river to rain on us so that we can bear fruit? Because even the months, they are designed for God to mark seasons, because he wants to do a new thing every month of the tribe year. And you're supposed to walk in that reality of newness every month. There's a seed, there's a fruit for every month that your life is supposed to partake of. And I said, God, how does this river unlock? How do we unlock it? He said, pure worship. Now, pure worship is not slow music. It's not even lifting up your hands and, you know, doing all of those things. I said, hey, so what is pure worship? And he says, it's also in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. And then we see how the 24 elders bow before. Okay. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder before the throne. Seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was a lion, the second an ox, the third like a face like a man, the fourth one was a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns down before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And now God says, these 24 elders, they have their own thrones, no doubt. They have their own crowns, no doubt. So in the tribe here, you can go on with your own agenda for your life. We have our own purposes and the intents of our hearts. And the Bible says that God judges all of them. But what do these 24 elders do? The Bible says that these four winged creatures, whenever they say, "Holy, holy, holy," these 24 elders drop from their own thrones, cast their crowns, and then they bow before the one who sits on the throne. And I said, okay, if I now have my own throne and I'm worshiping the one who sits on the throne, where do I find the chance to now balance on my own throne? And God says, there's no time. You know why? Because day and night, those guys keep saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." And every time they say, these 24 elders, they're on the floor before the one who is seated on the throne. And God says, tell my people, in the year of tribe, there is not about you. It's not about you. I said it in the morning that our reward is his glory. If God is glorified, that's it. That's your reward. That's all you need. So why you do these things, why you pray, why you prosper, why you get yourself 10,000 times better to get to the level every year times 10,000 every year till Jesus comes. That's the intent of God. But there's no time for you to sit on your throne. I want you to rise up to your feet. Maybe you are sitting on your own throne now. You think your tribe is going to be from your own throne. Let me shock you. There's no chance. There's no time. Because day and night we're supposed to cast our crowns before the one who sits on the throne and say, "All glory, honor, majesty, power, dominion in heaven and earth be ascribed to your holy name." I'd like to just lift up your hands in surrender. Ego High especially, God says, I should tell you, that river in front of the throne is supposed to open and supposed to be released on the earth. So when you worship, it's not slow song. Will you worship from the way it is done in heaven? You want to be better, your voices need to be better and everything, but you need to bring all of us to that place where the only thing we can do is just to say, "Glory, honor, power, majesty be ascribed to the one who sits upon the throne." There is only one throne, and that's the throne of Yahweh, our Maker. And that's the throne we should bow before. A songwriter says, "I will burn down my idols, the thrones I have made, and everything that has taken your place." So this is a time of repentance before God to say, "God, I want to thrive in the thing you have sent me for. I want to thrive in just surrendering to you. Where it's going to lead you, I don't know, but I know it's to a perfect end." Because that's all he thinks towards you, to bring you to that place where the way he sees you in heaven is just the way you are on earth. I'd like you to say, "Father, I am bowing before you today, and I'm not ever going to stand up and sit on my own throne. Because it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you for your glory. We will do anything just to see you glorified. In the year of tribe, I'm willing." Make it your prayer. "In the year of tribe, I'm willing to do anything just to see you glorified. Give me understanding so that I can have hope. I may know the hope of my calling. So that my expected end will be sure. So that I can work at that 10,000 times better than I used to be. And this is something that should be happening in my life every year." Just pray that prayer of surrender.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 07069-6964. 0244-7999 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.